This episode of Outspoken is brought to you by Loving Tan.
This is Outspoken, the podcast that's not afraid to say exactly what you're thinking.
Our names are Amy, Kate and Sophie Torber. We're identical triplets, but we often don't have identical opinions. So sometimes things can get heated.
Outspoken covers all things reality TV, influencers, entertainment and issues facing women.
That is so fetch.
Thank you.
Hello and welcome back to Outspoken. Now, it's pretty chaotic in here. We've got my dog Archie on the ground ripping up stuff. We've got Amy, you've got your kombucha at the ready, but we are
That's called chaos with chaos. Amy's kombucha.
That's right. But we are...
on the hard stuff this week.
are very pumped because we have had an incredible week for our podcast. We have recorded the highest numbers for quite some time now.
Yeah, so thank you so much for the support. It was our biggest week ever, and we have to say a big thank you for everyone who's been leaving us amazing reviews and everyone in our Facebook community.
I just love those girls in there.
They are the best. Yeah, thank you for all the support, and we are so excited to keep bringing you podcasts and giving you our raw opinion. People seem to be liking and not liking it, which is great because that means we're creating discussion.
Well, that's the best thing about our podcast, I think, is that you can listen to it and you can agree and disagree with our point of view. So thank you again for all the support. Now, Soph, you've had a pretty, I would say, exciting week with your dog, who actually is now, I think, apparently an influencer. So
he's a bit of a micro-influencer.
He's kind of a big deal around here.
Yes, he is a big deal. Now, to my surprise, I got a message on my phone telling me that I had a delivery that was about to be dropped off.
Did Archie give out his own address?
Well, no, I did, but I literally forgot that it was happening. So I was like, what did I buy online? I thought, am I having amnesia? Like, I can't even remember what I have bought. And then I go outside to find a parcel sent to him with his name on it, Archie, with our address. And it was a container of dog food for him.
Wow, he has made it. He's made it on Instagram.
I'm actually in awe, though, of how supportive this dog community is. Like, I have 100 requests in his thing for people messaging him, wanting to ask me where I've got him from.
It cracked me up because I was just flicking through my feed and there's Sophie doing a Q&A of Archie. And I was thinking, oh, you know what? She'll get one question from me saying, who's your favorite auntie? But there were legitimate questions coming through, heaps of them.
I put that up because when I was searching for a Cocker Spaniel puppy, I really wanted to find out more about them and I found it really helpful. So that's why I put it up.
It's all about the engagement now, though.
But he's also had dogs sliding into his DMs asking if he'll breed with them. This is the new thing for dogs. So dogs hitting each other up.
Look, so if I've got a question for you and Archie, now that he's sitting here, can you please give Shadow a shout out? Because I feel like I'm failing at Instagram
him. I've been trying to give his cousin Ziggy and Shadow a shout out. But if anyone in our community wants to go and follow them, maybe just go and check out.
Yeah, poor Shadow only has around 100 followers, so a bit depressing. Now, Amy, how was your week?
My week was really busy, but I did go to Down the Rabbit Hole Winery on the weekend, and it's run by an influencer, Elise Cook, and I actually haven't followed her before, but oh my gosh, I'm going to. She was so lovely, and she's so stunning looking.
And I think you've got a girl crush on her because Amy was like, oh my God, she's so perfect and beautiful and lovely.
Well, my friend who I went with, we were joking that she had a girl crush on her because she's been in a number of times, and we were laughing because we were all sitting on the bus doing the wine tasting. We were all there cackling like, ha, 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 and then she had just the voice of an angel. And I just a hot tip for any guys that are in South Australia who might be listening, that is the place to go to if you want to meet girls.
Do you know what I was most surprised about? You said that they had these, remember the trucker or the train driver looking hats that girls were wearing a number of years ago? Yeah. I am so shocked to find out that apparently they were selling them at this winery and that's all the rage for men.
Yeah, that was definitely the look for all the men that were there. But let's be honest, most of the men there were dragged along by their girlfriends. But if you're a single guy, you should bring your single guy friends there. There were women galore who looked like they were just wanting to speak to some single guys. So that's my hot tip for the week.
Well, on the topic of love life, my Instagram feed has been inundated with engagements. I don't know if it's engagement season because that's usually when it's starting to get warmer. But there was the most extravagant engagement I have seen for, I'll put as inverted commas, a normal person, a non-influencer, on Instagram for quite a while. Now, this is a sort of friend of a friend that I know, and I was very impressed. He went above and beyond. So I'll set you the scene. They went out for dinner. It was their second anniversary. So of course she was all beautifully glammed up, which great tip for guys out there. Make sure your girlfriend's looking good, because when you want to get those photos, that's a bonus. Anyway, so they went out to dinner, and unbeknown to his girlfriend, he had set up the most extravagant setting to propose. So there was rose petals, candles, there was a big sign that said marry me, it was all lit up, it was like biggest bunches of roses I've ever seen, chocolates, everything.
They even had a film crew there, didn't they?
Yeah, so they had a film crew, and he blindfolded her, followed her down this path and proposed. Now, it was actually amazing. What was more amazing was the rock. It was huge. Like, I don't know how this guy did it. Props to him. It was amazing. But the funniest thing was, I was relaying this conversation to you guys and mum and our nana. We went and got hot chocolates on the weekend. It was quite cute. And I said to mum and nana, well, how did you guys get proposed to? And the funniest thing is, they couldn't remember. Now, I just found it quite funny because it made me reflect on how much Instagram and social media has really changed proposals, because I don't think it was such a thing to put out there. I think the thing is, it just depends who your friendship group was back in the day. I mean, if you would have heard about your friends getting engaged, but now Instagram opens you up to so many more people to actually witness their engagements and to see what's gone down.
Yeah, well, but I don't think it was so performative before. I don't think there was a lot of pressure on how did you do it and what did the ring look like. It was kind of like, oh yeah, they got engaged.
I feel like it's a spectator sport now to see who can outdo one another.
Would you guys want to be proposed to like that?
I personally thought having the film crew there kind of took away the sort of romance and the intimacy of the moment. But it was very beautiful, but it probably was a bit showy for me.
Well, I feel like you would want it captured in some way. I mean, I suppose everyone's unique. I mean, that proposal may have suited them, whereas a different proposal will suit someone else.
Well, I think it was really cute the way Olivia Rogers and I think boyfriend's name's Justin, how he got someone to film from far away. Like, it was kind of a bit candid, but at least they captured the moment.
Yeah. Well, we'd love to hear what you think. Go to our Facebook community, because we're going to be putting the question in there. How would you like to be proposed
and
to?
Maybe you could also share parents' proposals as well, because yeah, I would find that really interesting.
Yeah, because we've had some hilarious conversations with friends about how their parents got engaged, and it's highly romantic. It's actually pretty hilarious. So please share those stories with us in our community. We'll have a link to that in our show notes.
I'm not going to let anyone talk about me like I'm a piece of garbage. He's trying to be a lad out there in front of all the boys. I don't want a lad. I want a gentleman. Yeah. Someone that's going to talk about me with a bit of respect.
Influencer Madison Woolley has taken to YouTube to slam the Outspoken podcast following our episode, which critiqued her decision to ignore the government's advice not to holiday in Melbourne. Madison labelled our criticism of her tone-deaf behaviour as hate and deflected attention around her travel plans, instead choosing to centre the discussion around her parents' wealth and her own financial situation. Following the upload, Madison's stans launched an attack on our podcast, which got us thinking about stan culture. Now, Kate, to kick us off, can you talk us through what has happened over the past few days?
Yeah, so on Thursday, we were alerted to the fact that Madison had uploaded a YouTube video entitled Update Q&A Mexican Food Mukbang, where she answered fan questions including what age do you want to get married, how do you edit photos, and what do your parents think about your job. So it was all a bit of fun until one fan asked, how do you deal with hate and criticism? And this is what she said.
This is actually a funny one, and I said in my previous video as well, if you guys haven't seen it, I'm really full, guys. I'm so sorry. I'll have another taco for you, but I'm so full. I actually dealt with, the other day, brutal hate. Well, I mean, it was kind of rude. A podcast, actually, that really just laid into me. I'm not going to say who, because I just don't want to talk about it. This podcast of three girls just really ripped into me, and I had quite a few people send me like the episode where they like talk about me, and they spoke about like my parents' money and how like I don't have my own money and I'm really like tone deaf, and it was really horrible listening to that about myself, especially when all of it is just so not true. I was like listening to it, I was like, you have literally no idea. Yeah, so that was actually quite recent, where I was like really not like upset by it, but it was more infuriating for me because they were saying like all these things about me and like making claims, and I was just like, that is not true. So that was kind of really frustrating, and I kind of wanted to like say something, but everyone was like, no, like you just gotta leave it, let it go. Criticism, like everyone's gonna have something, an opinion to say about you. And even though you know, when you hear it, you can get so mad, which is what I was. I was like, that is so unfair. And then I kind of took a step back and I was like, what's it going to do? Like, me saying something back to them, like, be the bigger person, let it go, and just keep doing your own thing and just keep focusing on yourself. In one ear, out the other, keep focusing on your own thing. Don't let the opinions of others bother you.
So instead of actually focusing on the critique we provided in terms of her traveling to Melbourne multiple times and then also going to Byron Bay and also to Noosa, instead Madison decided to focus on the fact that we had spoken about her parents' wealth, which was in fact true. But the only reason we spoke about her parents' wealth was the fact that she speaks about it all the time in her videos, and it's a constant theme.
Now, can I interject? When you say we spoke about her parents' wealth, we touched on the fact that it was a most requested question about her was, what do her parents do, and do they pay for things for her?
But as you said, this is what she talks about a lot on her channel, so I think we should go straight into our grabs and let's have a listen to what she talks about on her channel.
I think the most frequent like assumption I got was about like my parents and money and stuff like that, and a lot of people are really interested in that, and I'm just like, yo, that's so rude, but whatever, do it for the video. You're rich, your parents are super rich, your parents pay for a lot. There's like, I'm not even kidding, there's a lot about that. Your parents buy you everything, like they pay for everything, they pay for all your living expenses. No, okay, I'm not gonna go into this because first of all, it's really rude being like, who pays for this? But I pay for my own. I pay for myself, okay? So my parents today are very successful. Like, I'll be honest with you guys.
As you can see, this is a topic of conversation that a lot of Madison's fans actually want to hear about. In fact, her video about her house tour in Noosa, which is her parents' house, got over 1 million views. So it's something that actually attracts people to her channel.
But you compare that to the regular views she gets, which is about the 20,000 viewer mark, you can see that this is what is attracting a lot of attention.
Yeah, and as you pointed out, she's really not afraid to talk about her parents' wealth, what they do for a job, and also talk about what they have paid for in the past. And as well, she talks about how she has stood on her own two feet.
Exactly right. So now we're going to throw to a couple of clips that will refresh your memory on the main points that we made during our conversation about Madison Woolley.
One that really got my attention on the weekend, probably for all the wrong reasons, was a video by influencer Madison Woolley, and it was entitled Weekend in My Life Anniversary Getaway. And to say this video was bragging is an understatement.
Yeah, and to put this into context, this is her fourth trip in the last month, I'd say. She's been to Noosa, she went away to Byron Bay. Of course, we talked about it on the show a couple of weeks ago. She was in Melbourne, and then now she's having a night away in a hotel. So not only is that kind of really difficult to grapple with when a lot of us don't even have money to go on, you know, one holiday or even maybe pay for food. That's not her fault, I know, but it just is extremely tone deaf to be putting that information out. And the whole vlog started with her bragging about the fact that she had been shopping all day and it was only Friday. So she had the rest of the weekend to go on this extravagant weekend away. And she was bragging about how she had just bought a Gucci bag.
Well, that's what got me. She said she only had the intention of popping in and buying a few things, but then left with a Beckenbridge dress, which would be 200 plus, a Gucci bag, which I Googled and found out was $2,850, and then this ridiculously huge sun hat.
But that was 70% off.
That was 70% off. But I mean, I just think that in this sort of economic time when people are losing their jobs and, as you say, money is so tight, I just don't think it's something that people want to be seeing in their feeds.
Now, before we delve any deeper into the discussion, we want to make a very important retraction. Madison's stans have pointed out that we mentioned Madison purchased a $2,800 Gucci bag during her $3,000 shopping spree. It was, in fact, a $2,800 Prada bag. We are deeply sorry if this caused any offense. It is, of course, of high importance to correctly identify an influencer's designer handbag brand of choice during a pandemic. We are so, so sorry.
So as you can see, we were really focused on Madison's decision to travel during the pandemic. And at that time, there was a lot of information going on out there that we just wanted to refresh everyone's memory on. So if we're looking at the facts, Madison and her boyfriend Jonathan Sauer first traveled from Sydney to Melbourne on June 6. During this trip, they went to wineries and also enjoyed a helicopter flight. Now, Madison and Jonathan embarked on their second trip from Sydney to Melbourne on June 23rd, and they actually documented this trip across their Instagram and later in a vlog entitled Daily Vlog, A Day in Melbourne, which was uploaded on July 4th. Now, Madison explained in this vlog exactly what she was doing in Melbourne, which we'll just throw to now.
Good morning, guys, and welcome to another vlog. So obviously right now I'm in a different area. I'm actually in Melbourne right now. I just thought I would vlog one day in Melbourne today. It's actually like our third day here, but the first half of this trip we've actually been doing some really exciting things, working on some stuff, having a bunch of exciting meetings for things that are coming later in the year. And I am so excited to show you guys. Yeah, I've literally been working on this like really big this project since last year, so it's starting to all come together, and I'm really excited to share with you guys later in the year. But yeah, we just had some meetings with the team for that, and that was really fun. Everything went super well, so I'm really happy. But yeah, today is kind of like our day off in Melbourne, so I'm here with John. He's come down with me, and we are actually hiring a car today and going for a drive like out towards like the wineries, and we're actually doing like the hot springs and like day spa thing. It's called the Mornington Peninsula, I think, in Melbourne. I don't know. If you guys are from Melbourne, I'm not getting that right. I'm so sorry.
Just to put this into context, at this time, it was only people who were meant to be doing essential travel to Melbourne. And I'm sorry, but is doing a photo shoot and having a few meetings for a brand really essential travel? And could they not have been done in Sydney, where she's from, or meetings via Zoom?
Yeah, exactly right. This is what I didn't understand. Now, for some further background information, the borders in New South Wales and Victoria did not close during this period, and that was during that first half of the pandemic. They were still open. However, as you said, non-essential travel was highly discouraged, and the New South Wales government advised that it should be avoided at all costs. Now, what is even worse about this situation is the fact that on the day Madison and Jonathan travelled, the New South Wales Premier warned people to change their travel plans from Melbourne, because Melbourne had recorded a total of 1,864 COVID cases at the time, with 17 new cases recorded that day. A week after Madison and Jonathan got back from Melbourne, Victoria was declared a state of disaster.
What's most disturbing, though, is at the job of an influencer is to influence the actions of other people. And this trip to Melbourne was broadcast on her YouTube channel. Now, a lot of Madison's fans have defended her behavior by saying that Madison was supporting the economy. But let's be honest, these trips would have been paid for by the hotels. They would have been gifted by the hotels. She was not supporting the economy. If anything, this type of action is destroying the economy.
It's incredibly reckless behavior, especially as you say, when these people have a platform. And I also want to point out that I know we are talking about Madison at the moment, but in our original podcast, we spoke about a number of different influencers who were doing this. And we don't want to be singling anyone out, because, you know, this whole situation is not one person's fault. But when these people have ridiculous amounts of power for their age, I think we need to hold certain behavior into account.
Exactly right, Sophie. And this isn't an isolated incident. Not only has Madison traveled twice to Melbourne, once she got back from Melbourne when it was considered a hot spot for coronavirus, she then traveled to Byron Bay. Now, travel in New South Wales was acceptable for residents of New South Wales, so it was totally within the law to go to Byron Bay. There was a lot of conversation around who should quarantine for the 14 days, and I think that Madison and Jonathan really fell into that gray area where, ethically, she probably should have quarantined and not further traveled to another destination.
Well, she went on to Byron Bay. I mean, if she had had coronavirus, she's gone from Melbourne to Byron Bay, back to Sydney,
and then to Noosa as well.
I think we should realize coronavirus doesn't discriminate. Just because you're an influencer or someone who's wealthy or a celebrity or whoever you may be, it doesn't mean that you're not going to get it. I think we also have to remember at the moment that weddings are being capped. Funerals are being capped. There's so many regular things that we can't do as a society that are really important to us. We can't even go and visit loved ones if they are in hospital dying of coronavirus. Yet at this time, some of these people deem it essential that they are traveling around to promote brands for their influencer businesses.
Now, one of her biggest defenders was Georgie Rafferty, who owns a company called Pilot Luxury Relations, and Georgie has 33,000 followers on Instagram. So she happened to be at a meeting with Madison Woolley at a Sydney hotel during the time she decided to comment on our three-week-old Instagram post promoting the episode which Madison was mentioned in. Yeah, so Georgie has gone onto our Instagram account, as Amy said, and decided to comment something negative on the podcast we did about Madison. Now, this is culminating when Madison uploaded her YouTube video. So it seems the pair were discussing it during their meeting at the Langham.
And can I just point out, people are allowed to have their own opinion. Like, that's what our podcast is all about. We say things that we know people are not going to agree with. That we don't agree with each other. And that's exactly the fun of our podcast. So we want to just point out, people are well and truly welcome to their own opinion. And they're also welcome not to listen if they don't enjoy it. But the thing that has been very hypocritical is that Georgie runs a traveling company. Now, Amy, can you go into the details of her luxury traveling company?
Well, being investigative journalists, we had a little look into who Georgie Rafferty is and what her business is all about. So her website states that her business works with resorts, hotels, jets, yachts, and luxury brands and services. So basically, she contacts influencers and links them up with hotels, which is quite ironic because we were commenting on Madison's interstate travel. And this led us to believe that maybe was Georgie responsible for lining up the Melbourne hotels?
Well, Amy, for those who haven't seen the back and forth on Instagram, can you tell us what the crux of Georgie's argument was against us?
Well, Georgie's issue was that she said that Madison is a really nice person, so we shouldn't be commenting on her and her parents' wealth. So she didn't really delve into the issue that we had, that was that Madison was traveling during a pandemic.
Well, she really seemed to deflect the whole travel, even when we reiterated that that's what our podcast initially had a problem with.
Which is exactly what you're going to do if you're the one behind organizing all these lavish trips.
Well, we did actually put the question to Georgie. We said, so were you responsible for organising Madison's trips to Melbourne? She has in fact denied this, and she did tease and say, we'll have to wait and see what they're collaborating on. So I suppose we'll have to keep you posted. And so I suppose it does remain somewhat a mystery of who has organised Madison's Audi hire car, her helicopter trip, and her visit to a luxury hot springs resort. So mystery, if anyone knows, we'd love if you could help us out. But yeah, we're just a little bit perplexed over that one.
Well, there was a little bit of a clue on Madison's photo that she uploaded on the plane going to Melbourne, which was commented on by Pilot Luxury Travel, which said, oh, it's so good to see you traveling again. So yeah, that's funny about that.
It's a difficult one.
Now, since Madison posted the YouTube video, we have had an influx of Madison stans coming across to our page and telling us that we're jealous bitches and that we don't know anything that we're talking about. Now, we are more than happy to take on constructive feedback. That's fine. We've got tough skin. So thank you for the people sharing their feedback. I mean, when it's not so constructive and they're just calling you bitches, well, just unfollow and don't subscribe to us. You know, stop listening, basically. Sophie, it's kind of made us think more about this stan culture because I've heard about it. But when it was directed at us, it kind of made me laugh, but then also be annoyed because I'm like, don't these people have anything better to do with their time?
Yeah, well, it's really interesting because the phenomenon of stan culture has been covered in recent weeks by publications like The Guardian and Pedestrian. Now, for those listening at home who don't know what a stan is, which was me a couple of weeks ago, so a stan is an overzealous or obsessive fan of a particular celebrity or influencer. Now, some people think that it's derived from Eminem's song, which is called Stan, which is, of course, about a crazed fan, and others think that it is the mixture of the two words, fan and stalker. Now, stanning has really taken over social media networks as fans have unlimited access to their favorite celebrities or influencers. And not only does stan culture glorify stalking, but in some cases it also promotes bullying because it gives a person a sense of entitlement towards that person and they feel a sense of ownership over the person that they are choosing to stan.
I don't know if it's you're a stalker if you're a stan. Like, that's not the connotation I get. When I hear the word stan, I think of people who are just diehard fans and will defend this person that they like to the end.
Well, in saying that, I think that there's two elements to a stan. As you said, one is that stalker element, which some, you know, A-list celebrities experience. And the other element is that person who will just defend that person blindly for no reason.
Yeah.
What do you guys think about the fact that Madison Woolley went onto her platform of over 100,000 subscribers on YouTube and decided to tell her fans about, quote, the hate she received? Do you think she, as being as an influencer and someone that has responsibility to her fans, do you think that she should have moderated the comments? Because for those who don't know, while she didn't name the Outspoken podcast, she narrowed it down to a podcast with three girls. And then in the comments, there were conversations naming our podcast. And Madison then went on and screenshotted the commentary and popped it onto her Instagram account of 500,000 people and said, you know, thank you so much for all the amazing comments, alerting people to the fact to read the comments. Do you think an influencer like Madison Woolley has some responsibility to the behavior of what her fans then to choose to do with that information?
Well, I definitely think she tried to influence them to go over to our podcast platform and potentially troll us. While she didn't say it in so many words, I think the YouTube video itself and the action of her screenshotting it and encouraging the commentary, calling us bullies, I feel like that definitely prompted people to come over. It's interesting because a lot of the Stan articles that Sophie referenced talk about big celebrities, for example, like Taylor Swift and other people like that. And the thing is that most of these people are too busy actually writing music or being actresses to actually engage with this kind of behavior, whereas influencers sit on their phone all day. So I do
Well, their whole job is to connect with their fans and build that engagement, like, you know them.
Well, can I interject? I feel like she has every right to say something about our podcast on her platform if she chooses to do something, just as we on our own platform have the right to speak and critique her. I don't think she has the right to blur the lines and insinuate stuff that was not said.
Mm.
In saying that, it's really interesting because the Pedestrian article I was talking about earlier, they spoke about how they have been so affected by Stan culture that they've actually had to take the journalist bylines off their articles because people were receiving so much hate. And they spoke about how every time they write about an artist, particularly a pop star, they run the risk of incurring the wrath of the artist's fans. And they spoke about how their staff have become targets of orchestrated harassment campaigns, and that ranged from either childish memes to very specific threats. And staff have even had their locations revealed online, their families in universities have been bombarded with emails and calls, and their social media profiles have been flooded with hate. Now, I think there comes a point when we as a society are allowed to critique people without the fear of copying hatred back. As I say, bullying is never the right thing to do. I think that you're allowed to critique, but not bully, obviously.
Yeah, and there's been a lot of podcasts in recent times that have been criticized for actually not naming influencers who they've, you know, critiqued their behavior.
Well, I think Shameless is one. They were very much named influencers and then kind of stopped doing that. And I do think it was probably fear for Stans coming out and trying to destroy their platform. But that being,
I think there were two reasons, though, because Shameless started to develop a huge platform of their own that they didn't want to direct their own Stans towards that person as well. True,
And also, I mean, there's been lots of talk as well about these Stans coming over and destroying podcasts, because it's interesting with YouTube, if you're a creator on YouTube, you can actually delete comments that people leave. But with Apple Podcasts, you actually can't even report comments that are vicious in nature. You also
you also can't respond to those comments. There's no platform to write back to these people.
So there is the actual ability for these influencers to send their stans over to different podcasts and literally ruin their ranking on Apple, which is what some of these people have been doing to our podcast. They've been leaving zero. And I just think, I think that there needs to be some kind of...
I think you can leave zero. I think it's a one.
It's a one. And the thing is, as we said, we're open to criticism, but when you haven't actually listened to the podcast and you're able to send people over to leave us hate, I actually think that something needs to be done.
Yeah, and that's what I think I was frustrated about. The fact that there is the ability to moderate your comments on YouTube, and the fact that Madison on her video said that she did not want to name us or, you know, talk directly with us about the content, however allowed her fans to name us and then publicize those comments and sent fans our way. I think, you know, where does the responsibility lie there?
But in saying that as well, I did notice there were a number of comments in support for us, pointing out the fact that we actually had an issue with her traveling during COVID, but those comments were subsequently removed. And there have been numerous comments on the actual travel vlogs themselves about questioning her behavior to travel. So it is interesting that she can control the narrative in that situation.
I suppose just to wrap this up, we just want to highlight the fact that we are more than open to constructive criticism. As Sophie mentioned earlier, our podcast is called Outspoken. We often don't even agree with each other's opinions. And I think that's what makes this podcast good, and having raw opinions.
And just to butt in there, Kate, everyone grows from constructive criticism. You become better at what you do from getting constructive criticism. But in saying that, saying things that are untrue or lies is not constructive criticism.
Yeah, and I think in no way do I stand by anyone calling us bullies. I think that it's a really sad time when you can't hold someone who has influence to account without being labeled a bully. I also disagree with the commentary around, oh, because we're women, we're meant to support women. Of course, that is a great thing to do. However, as women, we can't just blindly sit by and watch someone do the wrong thing and not have a conversation about it.
That is such a good point. And what is ironic is that Madison was actually featured on the Husey and Ed show. So they're doing this segment where they highlight an influencer of the week.
Now, that segment is completely taking the piss, because yeah, I kept seeing Madison Woolley and Talia Skaines promoting the fact that they were going to be appearing on the radio. And I was like, wow, what's this about? And then when I listened, it was so funny.
They were very much implying that only men followed her. She did not take offense to that at all. She laughed it off. She laughed everything off.
Yeah, and they were also belittling her vlogs and what she did. Yeah. So they were making fun of the fact that, you know, they asked her exactly, what does working full-time mean to you? And, oh, so you just take photos and videos of yourself all day.
The insinuation was that she was unintelligent for doing that job.
It was. I mean, they were having a little bit of fun, but Madison went on her Instagram. She promoted this segment. Everyone supported it. Yet when it's women calling out the behavior of another woman for traveling interstate during a pandemic, we are labeled as bullies.
And jealous bitches.
Yeah.
Now, I understand that this segment is focused directly on Madison Woolley, and that is just because we wanted to address the claims that she sent out to her 600,000 plus followers on her Instagram and YouTube channel. And we just want to say that we're aware that she is not the only person doing the wrong thing in regards to traveling. And we did highlight that on our previous episode. So if you do want to have a listen to that episode, you can go back and find it from 3 weeks ago.
Just unfollow and disappear. Do you think I give a fuck? Unfollow, leave, we'll never see you again. Phenomenal. We didn't want you here in the first place. We don't want you here now. We won't want you here in the future. You are ruining the vibe that we have going on. Do you know what I'm saying?
Now, let's get into the pit and the peak of the social media week. Sophie, can you start us off with the peak?
I think the peak has to be that Chloe Zepp and Mitchell Orville are absolutely pumping out the content at the moment. Now, of course, we spoke about how they had given birth to their son, Artist.
Well, Chloe had given birth.
That's right.
Mitchell did.
And the thing that I found most interesting is that they had a professional videographer film the whole birthing experience. So I think it's going to take a number of weeks until we get to see that. But they have been sharing what it's like to have a newborn child.
These Day in the Life vlogs have been so interesting, and it's really heartwarming to actually see Chloe and Mitch's parents. They seem to be really doing a great job of it. But I had noticed last night that Mitchell shared a post about how he's been really grateful for all the feedback fans and followers have been giving him, but he kind of is at the point where he needs everyone to sort of stop because it's just getting too much.
Well, I think it was the fact that a lot of people were writing, oh, you're doing this wrong, you're doing that wrong, and this could lead to your child dying, which is, of course, incredibly negative when you're trying to do the best. Now, what was really interesting is Mitchell seems to want to rebrand his whole YouTube channel. Now, he's thrown out the suggestion of calling it Mac Family or Cam Family. Now, that Mac is, of course, Mitchell, Artist, Chloe. And I don't think people really like the suggestion, because he then followed up with a subsequent suggestion of just calling it the Orvilles.
Or the Orville family. So I'm glad that they've gone with the Orvilles. That is so much more on brand. And I think Chloe said she's ready to now get proposed because she needs to be an Orville.
Now, we should probably get on to the pit, which is, of course, the breakup between Kayla Estenis and her fiance Toby.
Now, these two are absolute Adelaide royalty. They, of course, launched BBG program together in 2013. And most recently, they became parents to their daughter, Anna. And it's just so sad to hear that they have parted ways.
Oh my gosh, I was shocked when this popped up in my newsfeed, and it was so funny because I told everyone in the office, and then I was getting messages from friends and you guys saying, oh my God, Kayla and Toby have broken up. And I suppose what's quite interesting about this split is the fact that they are worth so much money. I think it's nearly up to $1 billion that their sweat empire is now worth.
But also the fact that they're still going to be working together, I wonder how long that will actually last.
Yeah, I mean, I think it was a really classy release that they put out, that they're still friends, that they're still working together, and they're going to do the best to support their daughter.
Well, it was your typical sort of happy, happy, we're still friends release, but we're better off as, you know, business partners. I think down the track, it will be interesting to see actually how that fares, because I don't know. I don't know how productive it can be working with your ex-partner.
Does anyone feel like there's a little bit more to the story than we're being told? I know a lot of people are saying maybe it's a result of COVID and spending a lot of time together, but I think this pair, the fact that they work together and obviously live together, they already spend a substantial amount of time together.
Yeah, and they've been together for 8 years. So, I'm sure knowing Adelaide, there'll be lots of gossip around, which is, you know, it's sad for Kayla and Toby, but I'm sure we'll hear a bit more about what's actually happened.
What a ripper!
Now it's time for the reality wrap. Now, everyone is talking about the Plan C Bachelor, which was announced by the So Dramatic podcast last week. What were your thoughts on this?
It doesn't surprise me. I mean, looking at who the different options were, I can see why they would have been picked before Lockie.
And it's been bloody boring. I keep falling asleep in The Bachelor.
Now, for those who haven't heard, the original person who was asked to be The Bachelor was model Jet Kenny. I actually haven't heard of him before.
Yeah, I didn't know who he was. He was apparently on Dancing with the Stars and then got into a relationship with someone on the show. So that ruled him out. Now, the second Plan B Bachelor was a bit of a shock to me because it was AFL star Alex Rance.
Now, it wasn't touched on the So Dramatic podcast, but for those who don't know, he recently divorced his wife and he's got a number of children, so it did seem like an interesting option for him to be put forward.
What sort of makes this story even more interesting is the fact that Alex Rance retired from football last year, which shocked the football community. So maybe this was actually lined up.
But then again, didn't he retire because he wanted to spend more time on his religion? So then it seems weird to take on that sort of role.
Yeah, well, I actually have met Alex a few times. He wouldn't know who I was, but my ex-boyfriend's brother played AFL at the Tigers and they were kind of working on a special project with each other back in 2014. Now, after seeing him a few times in the office, I'm upset that he wasn't Bachelor. Well, he was hot. Well, he would have been really good.
Well, apparently the girls on Lockie's season were actually cast for Alex. So, I mean, I'd personally be a little bit disappointed if I rocked up and he wasn't there and it was Lockie.
Yeah, I know. It is a bit disappointing. I'm really hoping Lockie season starts to get better. There's so much drama sort of going on amongst the girls, but it doesn't really eventuate into anything interesting.
Do you know what I thought that was pretty funny that came out about Lockie this week was there was an article about the fact that he has three nipples. Like, is that how desperate we are for really? Bachelor news?
Wow. Oh my gosh. Well, moving on to Bachelor in Paradise, rest in peace, it was much more interesting than The Bachelor. There is a feud currently going on between Alicia, Glenn and Jules. Now, Sophie, can you fill me in? Because I saw a little bit about this on Batchy Funny's Instagram.
Well, it's a bizarre feud because no one quite knows what's going on. And for those who don't remember, Jules is the guy who broke Alicia's heart on
complete
Bachelor.
Complete twat, really. Yeah, he was a complete
bit
twat.
Of a dick. Now, fans have been left divided about this comment and whether it's shady or not. So there was a photo of Alicia and Glenn, and Jules left the comment, "Google search frog meme." Now, for those who don't remember, the frog meme circulated a number of years ago. It was that very crudely drawn frog.
Oh my gosh, dark green frog. That meme.
My favorite meme was when he was stealing McDonald's chips.
I can relate to that.
Back in the day. Anyway, and Alicia responded to this, "Prob's time to tap out, buddy." Now, Glenn hit back saying, "Google search umbrella of ambiguity." Now, for those playing at home, this is the quote that Jules used on Bachelor in Paradise to describe his and Alicia's relationship. And
which was equally confusing at the time as what's going on in these Instagram comments.
And then Alicia added to this by sharing a photo of her and Glenn under an umbrella saying, "Hey Siri, play Umbrella by Rihanna."
Now, was Jules trying to refer that Alicia looks like the frog meme?
Well,
because that's really bloody rude.
Well, the frog always has a very blank expression or a sad expression. So I don't know if this was maybe in reference to, you know, poking fun at the cheating rumors that were going around the place and that she would be sad. I'm not quite sure.
I'm so confused. I did see that Jules also referred to Glenn as Greg, which was the name that Alicia accidentally called Glenn.
Not Jess, like you called him.
Not Jess, yeah. Glenn.
Now, do we think
Greg.
Do we think that Jules is trying to remain relevant by getting himself involved in this so-called feud?
Possibly. I think so. I think he just needs to go away. Just leave them to it. No one's interested anymore.
I think I feel bad that I invited all these people to this huge wedding and flew everyone out. I wasted everyone's time. I wasted everyone's everything and I feel bad. You don't think I feel bad?
Now let's get into our new segment, which is Social Snapshot. Now it is taking a look at the most interesting stuff that has happened on our news feeds this week. Now, Amy, let's kick it off with some Michael Finch goss.
Well, Michael Finch took to YouTube after being absent for a month, and he basically said that he thinks that all influencers should get a part-time job.
Now, this is because he is working at a pot plant place, is that right?
Yeah, so he was saying that being an influencer is such a lonely job, so he started working for free at his friend's place, but painting pot plants. Sorry.
It actually looks really fun. It's some beautiful pot plants and they're very cool pots.
Well, I think it's great advice for influencers though, because it gets them out there in the real world. They're having social interactions with people and they're probably appreciating and enjoying the time off that they have.
I think it's pretty cool that he's doing it for free as well.
Well, Shani Grimmon came out a few months ago and she said that she would love to work at a coffee shop just to be able to talk to people and find out what, you know, normal people are doing every day.
Now, on the topic of Shani Grimmon, I have been loving her quarantine vlogs. They are so raw and real, and I feel excited because I feel like perhaps Shani is back.
I think that she definitely is back. We've spoken about her in the past and said we would love to see more content coming out, and she did open up in her recent vlog and said that the reason she hasn't been sharing as much about her life is because she didn't really know herself, and she feels like she's gotten to know herself a bit better and is going to start posting again, which is great.
We are having a baby. Sounds so weird to say that.
Now it's time for Awkward Turtle. Now, Amy and Sophie, this involves both of you.
Yeah, well, everyone who listens to this podcast will know I'm obsessed with Facebook Marketplace, and I was doing a bit of wheeling and dealing on there last week, and I was leaving out an item for someone's mum to come and collect, so I thought I'd send some photos of a secret spot where I'd put this cup. Anyway, so I went to my photos and I went to send these photos of the location, and I accidentally sent a video of Sophie and her dog Archie. And you might think, oh, well, that's not too embarrassing. This video, we're going to put it on our Instagram.
Oh, okay, you're actually going to share that?
Yeah, it was Sophie trying to put Archie's collar on.
It'd be a real insight into what Sophie's like off mic, because she literally, you're like, yeah! I'm so sorry for everyone's ears, but she was like, oh my God, Archie's biting me.
It was hilarious. And then I'm there in the background. I sound like the biggest dickhead. I'm like, oh, he's very spoiled now. He's Insta famous. And I just thought, how do I even explain this video? So I quickly wrote back to the girl. I was like, I am so sorry. Please ignore that video of my sister's dog. And all she wrote back was, he's very cute.
I'm sorry, but I'm the one that's being stitched up here. Yeah, I'm the one screaming in this video in pain from being bitten by Archie, who's teething at the moment.
Well, I thought there was a function now on Messenger where you can remove a post that you've sent. Couldn't you not have done that?
I went to remove it and it said remove for me. So it would only remove it on Messenger.
I think you can do both.
No, I believe it's on Instagram. Well, maybe
so. No, it's both. No, it's on Facebook. Well, you can remove it for both.
Facebook Messenger, it didn't let me.
Oh.
Now, I feel like this is something that happens a lot. We'd love you to share your own awkward messages that you've accidentally sent people. Like, I feel like it happens a lot. If I'm thinking about someone, perhaps I'm writing about Amy, having a little bitch about Amy, and I want to send it to Kate. Sometimes I automatically go to send it to the person I'm thinking about.
So I must have been thinking about Archie when I sent that message.
Well, I always get really nervous when I do have to send a photo because you're scared you're going to click on something else and send that. So yeah, it's actually happened to you, which is not good. At least it was just a video of Archie.
I know, it could have been much worse.
Well, I think that's all we've got time for today. Thank you so much for listening, and we would love it if you could leave us a review. We really want to know what you're enjoying about the podcast. Also, please come into our Facebook community, which is Outspoken, the podcast community, and join in on some of the conversations going on there. As we mentioned before, we have some amazing people in that group that we are loving talking to.
And we'd also love if you could share our show on your Insta story if you did enjoy it.
And thanks again to Loving Tan for making this episode possible.